Hi, thanks for listening to the It's Not Just One Thing podcast series from Physio My Dog. I'm Harriet Kitkat and I'm from Physio My Dog. I'm a vet physiotherapist specialising in dogs, but I'm also a dog owner myself, and I'm also incredibly nosy and interested in knowing more and more about what we can do as dog owners, but also as therapists as to what we can do to help dogs. So I hope you find this series useful.
It's me again. It's your friendly physiotherapist, Harriet Kitkat from Physio My Dog. Okie dokie. Right then. So we are on the next episode of It's Not Just One Thing That's Going to Help Your Dog. And this is the Splinter spin-off mini-series of the What Is series. So far we have covered elbows, hips, kneecap, cruciate ligament. Now the important thing about luxating patella and cruciate ligament is they're in the knee, they're in the stifle, and we're going to be talking today about the meniscus, which lo and behold is also in the knee. So those poor old knees on our dogs, they have quite a lot of options of things going a bit a little bit tricky. So a really important joint for us to be aware of and for us to do what we can to protect it and hopefully prevent any issues happening. But that is for a bigger discussion. So let's just dive in a little bit more in the meniscus. And sometimes anything to do with the meniscus can also be part of the conversation with regards to cruciate ligament. And I should also say that cruciate ligament can also be part of the conversation when it comes to luxated patellas, because guess what, guys? Dogs can actually have all three of these. They may just have one, but they may also have one, two, or three of these conditions. So there is, hence the name of this podcast series saying it's not just one thing, because quite often there is more than one thing that's going on with our dogs. Now that's not a reason to panic, that's just a reason to have an understanding that there are other considerations that we need to think about if something is showing up in our dogs. But that's quite a broad statement to make, I know. But it's just trying to open the mind that it's not just one thing. Okie dokie, okie dokie, okie dokie. I'll stop wittering on. Let's get physical on the meniscus. So, excuse me. A bit like the cruciate ligament, which we were talking about in the last episode, you can't feel the meniscus. Okay, you can hear it sometimes, but you can't actually physically feel it when we're examining our dogs. So remember the anatomy of a dog. The stifle is another name for the knee. And dogs have knees on their two back legs. They don't have them on their front legs. They have them on their back legs. On their front legs, they are called the next joint up, which some people think is the knee, is actually the wrist or the carpus. Okie dokie. So the meniscus, sometimes called, there's two of them. So we know that with the cruciate ligament, for instance, that crosses over. With the meniscus, there's also two menisci. So that's the posh name for plural meniscus. And these are bits of, it's a really good thing just to Google, if you like. So if you go, I've got a link in the show notes to the Facebook post that I did on this. And there is like a diagram which shows you a little bit more detail as to how like this physically sits inside the knee. And what you'll find is the patella, the cruciate ligament, and the meniscus are all really close together. So they all kind of work together and they're very, very close together. Hence there being sometimes if there's an issue with one, there'll be an issue with something else. So the meniscus is basically, it's a bit of cartilage ultimately that sort of sits in between the knee socket. So it's like cushioning almost. So it's got a really important job, and it's like a C shape. So someone once described it to me as like, a bucket, and then you have a bucket handle, and that kind of like flip flops. Well, that's a bit like the meniscus. So it's kind of taking some of that pressure, if you like, within the knee. It's like that cushioning. And so, because there's a lot of force, as you've probably heard me talk about last time, about, you know, dogs sometimes jumping down on their two back legs if they're catching a ball. I cringe when I see people doing that with their dogs. But anyway, that meniscus has to, you know, there's a lot of cushioning that has to do from any kind of like friction or force, what have you. So dogs, we don't want dogs twisting their knee, because it's not designed to twist. It's designed to be a hinge joint. So So yeah, which is why you say you don't, that's why, again, another reason. So not just throwing a ball means that a dog's landing on their two back legs, but it also means that they're, you know, they're twisting their body at quite a high pace. So a bit like the other conditions that we've talked about so far, this is another one of those blooming degenerative conditions. So we know that degenerative means that there's long-term effect of it. That means that there's arthritic changes that can happen as well. And the tie-in really with the meniscus and the cruciate ligament is that quite often the meniscus can be damaged at the same time as the cruciate ligament, or it could be damaged after cruciate ligament. So what can happen, for instance, and this is the not so fun bit, is that if your dog has, say, ruptured their cruciate ligament, they go and have surgery, and then they're doing really, really well, and then a fairly short amount of time afterwards, because that joint is still quite vulnerable, you might find that all of a sudden the dog's lame again, and you're like, oh god, what's happened here? Now there's different options that may have happened, but sometimes it's meant that the meniscus has then gone because it's just been that little bit more vulnerable. And again, sometimes, not always, but sometimes you'll know that it, or the vet will know that it's the meniscus, because you'll sometimes hear it like a click as to when that dog's moving that knee. Now, don't panic if you hear a click. That doesn't mean it's definitely the meniscus. Remember, we don't make assumptions, but that can be sometimes an indication, because it's like the flapping, if you like, of that bucket handle. So the signs will be quite similar, really, as with some of the signs that we were talking about with the cruciate ligament. So as I say, I think the reason I wanted to do a sort of, this probably won't be as long actually, this episode, but ultimately, as I say, sometimes the meniscus is damaged at the same time as the cruciate ligament. So when the surgeon opens up your dog's knee and having a look inside, they always check to see if the meniscus is intact or not, because if it is intact, then obviously they'll leave it. But if it is, if it has been damaged, if there is, if that has gone as well, if that has sort of snapped, if that's ruptured, then they'll obviously take care of that at the same time. So, as I say, if you've got a dog that's had cruciate ligament surgery and then they go lame afterwards, please get it checked out. It might not be the meniscus. It's just sometimes that's when it can be affected ultimately. Get my words out now. So a bit like some of the other all of the other conditions I've been talking about, we can manage it. Okay. Now, if your dog has to have surgery on it, the recovery is much, much quicker than the recovery for cruciate ligament. So please don't panic if, unfortunately, it's one of those things that's happened. It's just one of those things. It's not necessarily anyone's fault. It's just sometimes these things happen. So I'd say I'm trying to do like little top tips really for everyone in each of these podcasts, and I'm trying to do things that don't necessarily cost money. So my biggest, I guess, takeaway, so I've talked about weight management, and I will probably still mention that in every single one. Do not let your dogs get overweight. Now, this might be boring to hear, and you might go, oh, but you know, I've tried, and you know, ultimately it's our own, as owners, it's our responsibility to feed our dogs. And it's not about all the most expensive food. It's nothing about to do with that. If you're struggling to manage your dog's weight, please ask for help. Now, again, I'm going to try and do some nutrition podcasts at some point, but ask for help, because having a fat dog, I know that's not a very nice word to hear, but it's true. Having a fat dog is not good. It's just not good. It's not good for lots of different things, and it's certainly not good for a meniscus injury or their recovery. So I'm just going to mention that. So it still hopefully is in your mind. So if you have an overweight dog, get the weight off. If your dog is not overweight, don't let it get overweight. Keep it. Well done you. Well done you. It's too much of a problem in our dog population now. And, you know, I've tried to be really nice, and I'm just trying. I sometimes have to get a little bit more stern when it comes to this kind of stuff. So that is always going to be a top tip. I will also mention, as I did last time, about slippery floors. Don't let your dog skid, especially if they've just had surgery, especially if they just had cruciate and their meniscus is intact. We don't want that meniscus going. We want to try and avoid that going. So please be aware of slippery floors. But my new top tip for this one is look at the amount of inflammation that is possibly going into your dog. So inflammation can come from lots of different things. For instance, if your dog is particularly stressy or, has high levels of anxiety, that is causing inflammation in the body. So if your dog is stressed and anxious and we're trying to encourage their body to heal, then look at ways that we can, this might sound obvious, but look at ways that we can try and maybe reduce those stress levels. I appreciate some things are really difficult, and everyone has different scenarios and home setups, etc. But look at ways that we can reduce things that are going to stress the dog's body out ultimately. Inflammation is massive in the body in lots of different ways. We need a little bit of inflammation because that's how we heal, but what we don't want is chronic inflammation, because chronic inflammation is no good to us. It does not help. It actually just makes things worse and can be a trigger for so many other issues that maybe weren't even there in the first place. So let's please look at how we can avoid, as I say, increasing inflammation, whether that be in from a behavior stress perspective, but also food, like nutrition. So look, do me a favor, just Google low inflammatory foods. Get an understanding of what is inflammatory and what is not inflammatory. And you'll see that carbohydrates rate high in that. So again, that's another podcast, I know, and that whole thing. But look at what your dog is eating, especially when they're in recovery. We want to try and give the body what it needs to heal and not give it what is going to hinder that recovery. So just generally have the idea of inflammation in your mind, and if you're not sure and you want to ask for more help, please reach out and I can try. And I did like a research thing on inflammation, actually, as part of my nutrition course, so I'm more than happy to share that if you'd like that. But yeah, just look at ways that we can reduce inflammation generally in our dog's body. We say we need a little bit, but we don't want too much. So that is it. That is it for this one. As I say, always know, okay, always, always, always know, whatever happens, there is always something that we can do to help our dogs. We don't feel helpless. Please don't feel helpless, because as I say, it's not just about medication. It's not just about surgery. It's not just thinking, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? There are so many things, and us physios or hydros or other dog therapists, we do this because we love what we do and we want to help you, and we are here for you and we're here to support you. It's a big part of what we do, and that's why we love what we do. So that's why I'm doing this, for instance. So if you have any queries, please let me know, because I'm always keen to hear from you guys. And please like and subscribe and all that kind of stuff to this podcast, because it really helps all the ratings and it helps other people hear it. And it doesn't cost anything. This is totally free, this information. So there you go. All right then, my lovelies, I'll see you on the other side. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the It's Not Just One Thing That Will Help Your Dog podcast. I really hope you've enjoyed it and found it useful. If you'd like any more information about anything that we've been discussing, please contact me. You can find my website by googling Physio My Dog. You can also look me up on Facebook and Instagram under the same name, Physio My Dog. I look forward to hearing from you.